This is the place to play with the most powerful principles of manifestation in the quantum field on a daily basis. This is Sanctuary of She, Soul, Human, Energy. And I'm your host, Katie Blair. We're a podcast, an app, and a community where women meet the version of themselves they came here to be and build the lives they came here to live. Welcome to this moment. Welcome to your sanctuary. Welcome back to the podcast. I want to share a bit of my experience with you guys in this episode of where I've been the last couple weeks. This is the first episode I'm recording live in a couple weeks. I just attended my second Vipassana, which is a 10-day silent meditation retreat. And I want to share a couple pieces of it with you that just have brought me home and brought me back in the most gorgeous ways to not only just why I love this work and these conversations and studying and geeking out on all the things that we love on this podcast, but truly at the experiential level of how real and how powerful it all is that we're really doing when we're tapping into these things. The first Vipassana that I ever did was in 2018 in India. A couple years prior to that, in 2016, I was in India for the first time doing my yoga school. And somewhere along the line, in some conversation, I heard about this thing called Vipassana, 10 days of silent meditation. And I remember when I heard about it, it was kind of like this, whoa, what did you just say? People do that for fun? People do that? And I kind of had this what if, like, what would happen if I did that? You know, I was at a time in my life where learning about these things was cracking me open to a remembrance of the power of the mind and the power of energy in a way that was changing my entire life, my entire body, my entire field of energy, my entire everything. And so I remember that feeling, you know, similar to when I heard about various plant medicines, of what would happen in a situation like that. If I really pushed myself to that edge, what would come of it on the other side? And so I kind of planted that seed then and there that I wanted to do one day, but I also knew that I was not anywhere near ready to commit to something like that. 2 years later, I found myself back in India, and I decided it was time. I went to Gaya, India, the middle of absolutely nowhere, but it's where the Bodhi tree is, which is where the Buddha sat when he attained enlightenment. And this Vipassana, it's 10 days of silent meditation, but it's also the direct teaching of the Buddha that has been preserved through one lineage that resided in Burma for many, many years, though it's of Indian descent. This one lineage in Burma preserved the technique exactly as the Buddha had taught it over 2,500 years ago. And so I kind of was in that state, you know, where I was like, if I'm going to do it, I want to go right there to the Bodhi tree. Now, these centers are all over the world. They're all over the world. This thing is huge now. But I did that in 2018, and it was phenomenal. Walking out of there, I think the thing that was the most huge for me to really take away was how much lighter I felt because of all of the clearing out that had happened. You know, we know our mind is a monkey mind. We know there's so many thoughts in there. But when you turn that off for 10 days, the depths that you not only go, but that you release, and the feeling of being in that silence and that stillness brings everything into clear perception, right? Vipassana is all about seeing things as they are. Then, you know, it brings you into this place of just feeling this lightness. and feeling this lightness that allows you to find this presence where the smallest things are so gorgeous. Inside of the Vipassanas, it's really kind of, as crazy as this, weird as this might sound, it's literally designed to feel like prison. It's designed to strip away every single worldly pleasure so that you can come into fullness, like drop fully into the mind. There's nothing to distract you. So you're kind of given this cot, but if you want a pillow or a blanket, you've got to bring it. The food, very, very bland, in very small portions. The bathroom, you know, like all the Vipassana centers, they're literally like, here's a wall with a roof and a cot and the meditation hall, and that's it, you know? And so when you come out of it, along with this lightness, you're brought into the simplicity and the profound beauty of full presence. Because when you're in there, you know, there's nothing. You're not allowed anything. You're not allowed to wear jewelry. You're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to write. You're not allowed to listen to music. You're not allowed to do anything. You are in meditation for 10 hours a day, 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. with a few breaks in between for 10 days in a row. The other participants there, you're not allowed to make eye contact. You're not allowed to speak, obviously. You're not allowed to have physical touch. Like, you can't, you know, it's, you're around people, but you are fully in your own mind. And when you come out of it, along with that lightness is this pure, like, think about that for a moment. The pureness of the pleasures of the simplest things, a smile, laughter, you know, people dancing to music, a dog running around and playing, like these simplest things. It's kind of that state that everyone, that all these movies like to bring us to. Like, the movie that's coming to mind right now is Soul, that children's movie, you know, when he gets his big dream and he's like, wait, this isn't really it. And then when he's just sitting there playing piano, the music takes him to the simplicity of the music notes, and all of a sudden he's in this state of bliss, just in the profound beauty of what's always been right there without needing, you know, to be a big star. So it's that kind of a feeling. It's that kind of a, oh my gosh, being alive. I am alive. If any of you read The Midnight Library, highly recommend that book. That was one of our books in the book club in the Sanctuary of She community. And, you know, she has this whole cathartic experience of being alive. And when you mix the lightness and the pure joy of being alive together, there is, you know, few things that top that. And to be able to reach that state in a natural way, in a very clean, pure way, is one of the greatest gifts. And 10 days, you know, when you're outside in the world, goes by so fast, right? You can't even remember what you've done this time last week. You know, 10 days goes by so fast. When you're in there, each day feels like a year. It feels like eternity. It is deeply challenging. It is deeply challenging. And, but you know, you come out on this other side of just kind of being fully awake again. And yeah, so this, that's kind of what I walked with. Because even though, you know, it's just 10 days, when you slow down those 10 days and you really zoom in for 10 days, the work that gets done in a setting like that lasts you for years, lasts you for years. So it had been about 5.5 years since that last one that I attended. And a few months ago, I was just, you know, followed that ping to look online to see if there were any open courses. You know, I was thinking within the next year or two. And it just so happened that there was a couple spots open left in one right near me in Hawaii for in 2 months' time. So I applied and got in and just decided to go for it. And so, you know, it was nice going into it this time, kind of having a very good idea of what to expect, really what I was kind of getting myself into. But I was curious, you know, if what I had walked away with last time would be similar to this time, or my experience of each day to day would be similar. Because what I found in the first time was that it took me 3 days for the mind to quiet down. So you don't actually start learning the Vipassana technique until day 4 of 10, because you have to have a mental sharpness and be able to concentrate enough to start learning the technique and to get the benefits of the technique and to use the technique to go deeper and deeper within yourself. So the first 3 days, you're just kind of focusing on the tip of your nose and you can't do it because the mind is so crazy. So I remember it taking, you know, that full 3 days for the mind to start to calm down to a place where I could hold focus on the nose area. And then the second 3 days, on the other side of that, you're in this stillness. And what was beautiful about the stillness is that, and hard, one by one, in that subtle layer, the things that you haven't been dealing with, or that you've been pushing down, or that you kind of locked away with a key somewhere deep inside of you, has the chance in that space to come out. And so the second 3 days are kind of, they tend to be quite emotional, because you're actually, you have a space and time to deal with them, to not keep them shoved away. And, you know, it's not really like you're deciding what comes up, but I was kind of internalizing them as like an internal pimple, kind of. When you're dropping deeper and deeper and deeper into the subconscious, if you hit a pimple, you experience this kind of energetic vomit where within 3 seconds, 25 suppressed memories will come up, and then you spend the next 3 hours going through them. You know, so this was what I had remembered from the first times, that those second 3 days, you know, one by one, a lot of the things that we haven't been dealing with come up and they can be released, which is also why you feel such a lightness. And then the remainder of the time, the last 3-4 days, you're in the stillness and now you've cleared out. And so you're kind of in this space where you really get to drop into more of the mystical spaces within the meditation, because you can get to such deep levels and you learn so much. And not only that, but your brain is working at such high efficiency in, you know, those meditative waves, that the creativity levels are through the roof. The productive levels are through the roof. You know, things that might otherwise take me a week or two to get clear on, if I focus on it when I'm in that state, I, within under an hour, will get everything I need to it. And you kind of attain this like photo memory, because I swear to God, I could write part of a book in there in my mind, right? Because you can't write anything down. And I would be able to do it, copy it down word for word when I got out the other side. And so just kind of anything that you bring up within the realms of your life, you get this chance to just get super clear on them, super creative around them, and full surrender of just dropping into these spaces that bring about these experiences that just kind of, you know, make all of this work. You're experiencing it first hand. And walking away from my second one, I think the piece that I really want to bring to this podcast that I just found to be so incredibly beautiful and profound is this, you know, remembrance of the power of experiential learning versus intellectual learning. And I think that this is the gap for so many of us, because our world, our society is now filled with so much noise, but also so much information. You know, we've got libraries, we've got books, we've got podcasts, we've got teachers, we've got, from the palm of our hand, we can access information about anything in a matter of seconds. And anything that we want to learn about, we do, right? So we read, we learn, we're doing all these things. And so why is it that for some people, they really tap into this place of full embodiment, and some people seem to always be on this journey of learning? And I think it's because so much of what we're doing is intellectual, right? We're we're hitting that conscious mind with things that light us up in that moment, and then they go away. And what Vipassana reminded me is the power of the experience of the learning, right? Realizing that every book that we're reading came from a person who had a firsthand experience with a topic, and so was able to write to you in a way that really put a balm and an excitement to the conscious mind. But in order for us to really absorb that information, in order for us to really embody it and identify with it, it means creating some sort of experiential, you know, experience for ourselves to not just learn about it, but to feel it firsthand, right? People can tell you about India all they want, but until you go to India, you don't actually get it. People can tell you all about their favorite food until you taste it. You don't know. And with these bigger concepts, it can be a lot harder to really drop into a place where you can experience it because they kind of feel so far off. And so we love learning about it. We love, you know, doing the little things here and there. But really, what is the power of experiential learning? It's huge. It's everything. It changes the entire game. And what I found to be most incredible about the stillness and the silence is when I got into those places on the back end, on the back 3-4 days, where I dropped in so deeply that it's so funny. Every single book I've been reading over the last few years, they all, everything I've learned, everything I've internalized came up in front of me. And I saw that they're all saying the exact same thing. They're all speaking about the exact same thing from slightly different firsthand experiences, right? Because the way we experience it is all going to be completely different. You can have 1,000 people standing around a building, and their view of what they're looking at is going to be slightly different based on their angle. It's the same thing. And to learn about it and to be activated by it and to be moved by it is so gorgeous. And to feel, you know, it's not just blind faith. Like, we feel these things in our everyday, but these deeper levels we can turn to books for, rightfully so, right? To really understand for the people who've gone that deep, and to go in there and to be in that space and to access that place and that thing, that seat of the self, and to fully see for my own self as the experiencer, having the firsthand opportunity at being in there, I realized how beautiful this all really is. Because it's not just nice thoughts written down on paper. It is real. And getting access in there and learning how to get access in there more frequently so that it doesn't take, you know, 5-6 days of silence to reach those levels. But it's like anything, right? Once you learn how to ride the bike, you know how to get back on the bike, even after 20, 30, 40 years, right? It's like riding a bike. Once you do anything and you really tap in, then you can access it and take it to new levels. And being in that space and kind of seeing all these books flash before my eyes and realizing that I was sitting in the space that they were all speaking about from their own firsthand experiences, it's such an empowering feeling. And it's such a satisfying feeling, because you realize truly how powerful this work is that you love so much. And I think the thing that blew me away the most from being in that state was really having the opportunity to go into the subconscious. So the Vipassana technique takes you into the subtle realms, right? Because we have our conscious mind, and through all of our senses, through what we're seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting, we are, you know, creating stories in every moment about what we're doing and who we are and where we're at and what's real. But if you think about that as kind of the ocean. This is like a thought that I just kept sinking into. You're playing in the ocean on a beach day, right? And you're above, you're in the water up to your knees, and everything is, you know, happening around you. Kids are running around, people are throwing balls, dogs are jumping in the waves, there's surfers, they're screaming, there's laughter, there's music, there's the sun, the wind, the water, you know, it's all happening in real time. But then a big wave comes and you duck and you go under the wave. And right under that wave, it gets quiet. And you can still hear the screams and the laughter. You can hear the rumble of the wave that just went over you. And so you're kind of in that middle ground, right? That more subtle layer. But then if you go dive down, you know, 5 feet, you're coming to this stillness. Or if someone screams loud enough, you can still hear it. But you're kind of down now with the sand, and you're just kind of watching the waves roll the sand around, and it's really peaceful and beautiful. Well, now envision yourself putting on a scuba dive tank and going down 30 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet. And now you're in this cave on the bottom where no sound can access. Minimal light is coming down. It's so still. This is what our body does. This is what's happening in our body in every moment as well. We have these subtle layers. Another thing I was envisioning is kind of think about looking at a tree, okay? Looking at a big, beautiful tree, and then you zoom in a little bit. You're like, oh, wow, look at the bark. The bark of this trunk is so gorgeous. And then you zoom in a little bit, and you're like, oh, look at these little leaves and flowers growing in between this bark. And you zoom in a little bit more. Look at this family of ants. You zoom in a little bit more. Oh my gosh, all the ants are carrying these little white chunks. You know, at first all you saw was the tree, but then you zoom in, you zoom in, you zoom in, you zoom in, and you get a whole different situation going on. The same thing is happening in our body. At all times, we have these subtle layers. And this subconscious that we talk about time after time after time in here, that controls 95% of our thoughts, feelings, and actions on a daily basis. This is the autopilot computer that helps us do all things simultaneously at once, be an individual, be healthy, hold down a job, be a mother, be a sister, be a daughter, be a friend, be everything. It's the one in you that can remember that your friend's birthday is on Tuesday. You still need to get a gift. You need to get bananas from the grocery store. The dry cleaning needs to be picked up. You have a project due at midnight. And this morning you want to make a cup of coffee. Like, that is the subconscious that allows us to do all of that. It's this huge memory bank. But then at the same time, what it does is it stores so much of this information, so many of these stories and evidence that we've been accumulating from the time of birth that lives tucked away in there in these internal pimples, as I was imagining them. And so my work, what I love doing, is learning how to go in there and how to see what's in there so that we're no longer afraid of it, and then how to essentially rewrite some of the computer programs and coding in there so that we can open up what's possible for us in that 5% conscious mind. And we can really start shifting and creating so that we no longer are settling anywhere in our life, but we're really creating our heaven and earth, because nothing inside that we're blinded by is keeping us in a cage anymore. All of that, it's alive, it's real, it's in there. And having that opportunity to go into that subconscious at a level like this, which, you know, I've reached before in moments in plant medicine ceremonies. I've reached before in moments of pure bliss, right? When we're in a really high energy place, maybe you're on a hike, or, you know, at the top, you've summited the hike, or you're on a long walk by yourself in the rain. And, you know, we have these moments where these things will come up. And it's not hidden from us. We just have to be silent enough and allow ourselves to reach a subtle layer enough that's going to allow this information to rise to the surface, to be opened, to be unlocked. And we know it's in there at the intellectual level. We can talk about it, we can read about it, we can really work with it on paper. We know it's there, but to go actually in to the subtle, subtle layers way beneath the ocean and to hit these pimples and to watch what comes up. You know, everything from beautiful memories with my grandmother to really hard moments in my house growing up to memories with Tom to everything. Like these things, you guys, we don't even remember what we forget. It is all in there. It's all in there. It's all alive. It all lives in there. And remembering this was so gorgeous because it wasn't at an intellectual level. It was at an experiential level. It was really, really realizing how much is in there, right? We hear about books, The Body Keeps the Score, all these things like A Return to Love, The Untethered Soul, all of these things that tell us it's all in there. But in that conscious mind above the wave, when everything's going on, it's too noisy, it's too fast, we don't actually realize what they mean by that. And to come to this place to really remember, you know, sometimes people say, wouldn't it be nice if that moment right before you die, you get to watch it all back? That really could be real. Because as crazy as it sounds, and as much as you think your memory is not what it used to be sometimes, or you don't know why things have been blocked out, it is all in there. And there's such a beautiful, there's such a beauty to that. That really, our body is this computer that has kept everything and given ourselves the right situation and the right circumstances we can allow to come to the surface one by one by one. And, you know, it's not necessary to do this, right? So many people go through their entire life without peeping consciously into that subconscious 95%. And that's okay, you know? However, I think it's such an empowering tool for the human experience to not only know that it's possible, but to know how to do it yourself. Because what a beautiful thought to know that no matter what's going on right in front of you in this present moment, in this ever-changing present moment, every beautiful thing you've ever experienced is still alive inside of you and can be accessed at any moment, and that you have neural pathways and gateways that can lead you to that. In every moment. What a beautiful thought that is, you know? It's kind of like our own little time capsule or our own little time machine that lives inside of us that we can access whenever we desire. And it's empowering because for these pieces within us that we also want to release, right? These pieces within us that we've been shielded from, that we've suppressed away from ourselves, that without being looked at, as we learn about, are potentially leading to things like disease, depression, anxiety, these habits and these triggers, these ways of being that are stopping and preventing us from living the life that we really want to live, because they're coming from those places inside of us that without the right tools in the right settings, we can't go in and open them back up. We can't go in and release them, but we can. We can heal ourselves. We can cure ourselves. We can find another way. We can become the person that we really want to be. What's alive in front of us right now, what we desire for ourselves right now versus being blocked by something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. We have that power. And then finally, the other empowering factor of, you know, building identity in new ways, right? This is where the expansion comes in, learning how to build the confidence, how to build the self-trust, how to build the self-love, so that we can trust ourselves to build a bigger dream, to go after something that really lights us up, find out what we're made of, find out why we're here on every end of the spectrum, big and small. What a beautiful thought that is. What an empowering feeling to know that however we wish to use the subconscious, that it's all in there. To meet ourselves with the bliss, to meet ourselves in the ways that we wish to release to meet ourselves in the way that we wish to expand. It's all there in every moment. You know, it's not just something that people write about. And getting to come into this, getting to remember this firsthand for myself, has made me more ignited than ever about this work. It is life-changing at an intellectual and experiential level. Life-changing, not a cliche. Literally, think about that. Reprogramming the subconscious changes your life. It changes your experience. It is actually life-changing. So another thing that they really drive home in this technique is also another thing that we talk about often, which is that everything is energy. This is why we love playing with these universal concepts, why we love playing with energy, why we love playing with the quantum field, because everything is energy. And when we get down to the subtler layers, we're reminded of this. Even down to the hand that you see in front of you, your own hand, at a microscopic level, it's these tiny little atoms vibrating at 32 trillion times a second to make the solid matter that is your hand, that is your arm, that is your leg. So the Eastern yogis knew this. They discovered this in meditation long ago through getting there at the experiential level and feeling it, witnessing it themselves. But in the Western world, they wanted to prove it. So they built at, I forget what university it was at, but they built a bubble chamber, they called it, to actually scientifically prove under a microscope how many times it was happening each second, 32 trillion times. And there's this kind of funny story that they tell where the man who actually invented the bubble chamber, I believe he won a Nobel Peace Prize and got all these awards, and it was a huge discovery, but he actually wound up depressed. Whereas the yogis, who had known this for many years, were at deep peace with the discovery. And they discussed this because of the intellectual versus experiential levels, you know? It's one thing to learn something with the conscious mind, but to experience it is a completely different situation. And so these yogis, who already knew the answer, had found such bliss and peace and serenity through the states of the meditation that had gotten them to this place to understand the information. Whereas the man who won the Nobel Peace Prize and all these awards, he was depressed because he knew he had discovered something, but he wasn't actually connected with it at a level where he could also benefit from it, at a level where he could also embody it. It was just intellectual. So, everything is energy. And when we get down to those subtler layers, and we know that, that's when we start getting into the quantum conversations. That's where we start getting into the universal conversations. But it's just so beautiful to experience that, right? So Vipassana, without getting too deep into it, it is a study of this. It's a study of the sensations that are going on in the body. And really, when you drop into that seat of the self and you get subtler, and you settle into the subconscious, you can actually feel those meridians of energy going through you. You can feel the chakra system. You can feel the nadis, the 72,000 energy channels. They're these kind of like rhythmic waves of energy that are going through you that you can only feel when you're still enough, when the mind is still enough. And it's always happening though, right? It's the state that you reach when you take a little mushrooms or you take a little MDMA, right? Like, you can feel those vibrations. You can feel the buzzing. You can feel that at any moment if you get still enough. And what's so beautiful is I would find when I would get into those states, our little breaks, I would walk around outside and all of a sudden the mountains are alive. The flowers are alive. You feel connected to the bees. Like, the bees would just come land on you, but you're not afraid. It's like you're in communication with everything around you. And again, we reach these states on certain substances that we take or plant medicines. And it's so beautiful that they bring us there. And I've always been such an advocate of intentional plant medicine ceremonies because of the information that opens from being in these states, from the peace that opens, from realizing how connected we are to ourselves, to everything around us, to everyone around us. So I've always been such a huge advocate for that. But what really hit home for me this time was that perhaps it's not actually the plant medicines that are allowing us to tap into that. Perhaps the plant medicines are a tool to shut off the mind to a point where we can get into those subtler layers to experience this, but to experience what's already always happening internally. Not something that the plants are showing us. They're just helping us turn off the mind to connect to the body, to experience what's always already going on. And when we realize how in every moment we have this, what a direct gateway to peace we have. But it's not found above the surface of the water because it's so noisy, there's so much going on. But if we can learn at an experiential level how to drop in, to keep ourselves clear, to keep our mind concentrated, and to reach these feelings, these states, this is why presence is such a cliche thing that comes from these Eastern philosophies. It's because it's the present moment that holds everything we seek. And when we bring that to the conscious mind and we reprogram our neural pathways to be ones where our energy can be open, our heart can be open, our pathways can be open with love, trust, joy, happiness, freedom. And we quite literally open up these channels that we have that have been blocked and suppressed and repressed because our subconscious has been protecting us, has been creating this shield. By the way, if you haven't gone and listened to Trajectory 2.0 that we did in the community a few weeks back, it is recorded, it's in there. We go deep into this subconscious shield and how to get to the other side of it using alignment techniques, and it is incredible. That is available inside the community as we speak. But we realize it's the key to everything we seek and that it's always at our fingertips. So, intellectual versus experiential, to kind of wrap this episode up, you know, this is the top reason why the Sanctuary of She community is so special. And you guys, I thought about this so much in there because it's exactly this. It's not just a place where you go to learn intellectually. We have that because that is so fun, so activating, like this podcast. But it's also a place where you put into action at an experiential level every single day, week, and month. And you're building on that and you're doing it with other people, so you're not alone in it. Because this sweet spot of really tapping into these quantum philosophies, and I say philosophies, but they're really truths, right? These universal truths, these universal energies that we're playing with at a conscious and unconscious level, really is about gaining awareness in every moment and putting it into action and being in this state of surrender where you don't know what's coming, but you're excited by that. You're excited because you know it's going to be good because you're doing it in a conscious way, right? It's like you're building a house, but you know the house is going to be beautiful because you've got the floor plan and the best materials. So it's exciting, right? And it's harder to hold this when you're doing it on your own, right? It's hard to be an entrepreneur when you're the only entrepreneur that you know. It's hard to excel in a sport when you're the only one training. It's hard to become a musician when you don't have inspiration to draw from any of the greats to listen to. When you're in and around people doing similar things, holding similar ways of being, you can stay in that sweet spot for much longer periods of time, and that's where the magic happens. And when you're doing this at an experiential level, when you're not just learning it, you're not just watching it, but you're doing it yourself in real time, experiencing yourself doing it in real time, and then watching other people experience themselves doing it and experiencing them doing it and compounding it all together, well, that's when you've just hit a space where you're going to watch yourself expand so quickly because you're all doing it. So we've got some really exciting things coming to the Sanctuary of She community in 2024 that are slowly starting to be leaked out and announced in there. I'm going to keep it a secret for members of the community, but really exciting ways to work together in deeper ways and to be on this journey in deeper experiential levels. So if you're not in there, come join us through the link in the show notes. And I just want to conclude this whole conversation by saying, first off, if Vipassana ever appeals to you, highly recommend. You know, not going to sit here and say it's pure bliss and joy. Like, it's deeply challenging at the same time, but everything worth doing is always a mixture of challenge and profound beauty. And the depth that you go in the challenge is the depth of the reward on the other side. So, you know, it definitely is beautiful. And as I was sitting there throughout the whole thing, the Sanctuary of She community is the space that holds it, right? Holds it for the long run because of the noise above the surface of the water. Everyday life, it is so hard to stay focused on what you want long enough to see it through. Long enough to see the versions of yourself through that you truly wish to lean into, because there's so much noise. Sanctuary of She is the place to do that. No matter what it is that you're building, being, doing, creating, learning, expanding into, this is where you come to ground it in at an experiential level and watch yourself expand in a way that you can trust, in a community that can hold you as you learn how to build that trust, as you learn how to build that energy, as you learn how to expand into all you came here to be. And the other thing, the other big takeaway from this is just that remembrance of truly all that our body is holding in every moment. You know, the things that we shove aside at that right below the surface of the crazy monkey mind thoughts, right under that wave where there's still some noise, is all the things that we've been shoving down and not dealing with. This is the things that can lead to things like self-sabotage, resistance, procrastination, fear, doubt, all of that. And so just having grace with yourself. Don't identify with these feelings when you look in the mirror every day and you're feeling off and you don't know why. You have been retaining information at that first subtle layer that's muck in there. It's causing the fogginess. It's causing all the feelings. It's why you're doing the things that you're doing and you don't know why you're doing them. You don't know why you can't snap out of it. Have grace with yourself. You've been shoving it down for a reason. It's been too much. But also trust yourself that if you get still enough, if you get quiet enough, you can allow these things to slowly come up one by one. You don't have to go sit in silence. You just have to learn how to get still, how to get quiet, how to sit with yourself, which is also what we do in Sanctuary of She. But have grace with yourself. And then finally, really remember beneath that, when we're scuba diving beneath the ocean, there's a whole world inside of you. Every memory, every thought, every beautiful thing, every hard thing, everything that shaped you in this human experience, it's all in there. In your health, your longevity, your happiness meter, everything is up to you creating a way of going in there and opening it up so that you're not scared of it anymore, so that you can trust yourself in it, so that you can reprogram it. This work is life-changing. Please reach out to me on Instagram if you have any questions about the Sanctuary of She community or if it's right for you. Please reach out to me if you have any desire to expand on these things for yourself, but in ways that you're not quite sure how to do yet. Send me a message. 2024 is going to be a big year. I know that without a doubt. And if you can incorporate some of these practices, if you can incorporate some of these philosophies, and if you can really do it at not just the intellectual level, but at the experiential level too, your life will change. If you feel called to go sit in silence for 10 days, do. You don't have to. Message me. I'm sending you so much love. I'm so excited for all of us, and I'll see you next week.